Question: what has been the impact of fatherlessness in America? Answer: devastation. Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest for this segment is Michael Juswick, who's an author, evangelist, military veteran, and a very concerned man about the issue of fatherlessness in America. Michael, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for having me on Vocal Point.
Sure.
Vocal Point.
All right, so quick question for you. How did you get interested in this topic? Why is this something that you are writing about and concerned about?
Well, I went to Bible college back in the late 1970s, and Jerry Falwell and Pat Robinson, D. James Kennedy, who you know, was working at trying to turn America back to God and stuff, and I saw that there was a real need in this area of parenting and fatherhood after I finished college, and that's what I proceeded to write about.
So have you written a book? What have you actually written, and what do you want to mention?
Yeah, I've written over 8 different books, and the book on fatherhood was just printed and published because of the cost involved, because print-on-demand now allows for printing.
What's the name of the book?
Fatherhood in the United States of America.
Fatherhood in the United States of America, and what's a website where people could get more information?
Well, it's posted on BarnesandNoble.com. It's posted on Amazon.com and also BooksAMillion.com. All have the book listed, and there's some data on there about
okay,
the book.
Okay, so Fatherhood in America. Okay, so Mike...
In the United States.
Fatherhood in the United States. Okay, what has been the impact of fatherlessness on this country?
Well,
give us an overview.
Devastation. I would tell you, and I've done a lot of research on this, Jerry, and one of the problems is, you have a breakdown of the family, marriage and such, you get a breakdown in the society. It's just a natural consequence. And now we've got the 1-2-3 punch. First they banned prayer and Bible reading in the public schools back in 1963. And now, then they passed abortion on demand. And now we've got a major thing happening where they're going to, you know, if the Supreme Court rules a third time, against the biblical Judeo-Christian basis of America's history.
By the way, this is being recorded on Thursday, June 25, so the decision has not yet come down, but even the fact that they would even entertain the question shows you that we're in deep trouble as a society. So go on.
Well, you know, the homosexual and lesbian matter is really a breakdown in society. Most people don't think of it as such, but when fathers are rejected, and or fathers reject their children, or these things happen, they have devastating effects on society. And if you don't correct it somehow by the land returning to God and obeying Him, you get the judgment of God. And I see it already happening as one who's done research. You know, God says the land will vomit you out if you do specific things. Okay, and it's happening. We've got major storms, prolonged storms in the Midwest, even heading toward the East, and you got severe drought in the West. So these are things the Bible speaks about, but you don't hear ministers and preachers talking about it because it's a bad subject. It's not a good subject to talk about, but you need to be, I'm a realist. I don't think that we ought to be ignoring the consequence of the actions of the people of this country.
All right, let me ask you a question, and I'll just ask it this way. Suppose somebody were listening and they were thinking, well, okay, that's an interesting point on the one hand. On the other hand, a lot of times some of the devastating storms you refer to happen in places like the Bible Belt and places where there is a lot more God-fearing and so forth. And we certainly are living in a fallen world, no question about it. Bad things happen to good people. Of course, the old question is, why do bad things happen to good people? And the answer is, there are no good people. We're living in a fallen world, and this is why Jesus Christ came, lived the perfect life, died for sinners, and offers the way to eternal life, to heaven, through His blood. You're either covered by the blood or you're not covered by the blood. But it's certainly true that some of the devastating impact that you're talking about, involves people, decent people, who are not disregarding willfully and violently God's law.
yes, we have a lot of good people in America. We get a mixture of both Christian and pagan. The land has fallen in some ways. In some ways, we still have, you know, God's people, and they do the best they can. You can't be all negative about it because there's a lot of Christians evangelizing, trying to get people to know the truth, and so that the truth would make them free. Because that's the real basis of our freedom, not the Statue of Liberty. It's liberty is found in Jesus Christ and obedience to his word. And that's what he said. If you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Yes.
So true freedom comes from obedience and knowing God's gospel and doing what he says to do.
Okay, now as far as, let's say, prisons, we have a lot of people who are in prisons today in modern America. Is there a link between fatherlessness and those in prison?
Yes, Jerry, I've worked for 5 years in the Allegheny County Jail in a maximum security pod. And the inmates that would come in for help, when we had a Bible support group in there and we tried to minister to the inmates that wanted help, and the majority of those that were in there were either never knew their fathers or had a bad relationship with their fathers. And that was a key thing throughout the whole realm. And it's true that if you don't have good, loving fathers and caring for their children, you get social upheaval, you get social unrest, and you get all kinds of problems. And that's why I felt, you know, when I started writing on the subject, it was probably the most important thing to write about, because the leaders of families, even though they're lampooned, they're made fun of, the media likes to poke sticks at them and just do everything they can to disregard the importance of the authority of fathers and their responsibilities, that they have to be taught from their childhood, you know, how to be good fathers, and that comes from, you know, the parents and how that they present an example before the children, and the children can follow that example out and obey God, and there's a blessing. If that doesn't happen that way, you get cursed. You look at the last book of the Old Testament. God said that he would send Elijah, he would return the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to their fathers, mm-hmm. lest he come and smite the earth with a curse. So there's a literal curse that comes down when society does not respect the honor of the fathers in the land, and that's what's really happening in America. It's a very malignant thing. It's very ugly. I recoil at some of the things I hear. Even in churches sometimes you hear pastors lampooning or putting men down and stuff, and we need to work at building men up and get them prepared for battle, because it's a real spiritual battle.
Okay, what do you think has caused this breakdown of fatherlessness, you know, or the breakdown caused by fatherlessness? Why has this happened in society?
Well, when society rejects marriage and they start going off into different directions, and fornication is a major sin in America, parents need to teach their children the damages. God says that he will visit with, avenge those that commit the sin of fornication in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 4, talks about, you know, that keep your vessel and maintain your purity. And so the people aren't being taught that from their childhood, when they're teenagers even. The biggest, most difficult time of their lives is when they're teens. They're ambivalent. They need to know the truth about things, and they need loving, caring, firm parents to help them understand how important it is. Not that they're not going to violate possibly the thing, because the raging hormones that are in teenagers, that you got to realize that it begins there. When you start breaking down society by disobeying God's word, there's a consequence to it, and God doesn't he forgives, but there's sometimes, just like David and Bathsheba, there's a severe, terrible consequence for doing certain things that God says don't do.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned fornication, which let's define that as premarital sex. Okay, now in this culture, just even talking about that there is such a thing as an ethic of avoiding premarital sex. I mean, that makes us dinosaurs on the one hand, and on the other hand, those who follow God's law in this respect actually have a better testimony. Some people think, well, you know, if I'm going to get married, I should try the shoes on before I, you know, buy the shoes. It's a bad analogy, but in reality, by saving your sex for marriage, you end up avoiding all kinds of problems, and I don't mean just sexual diseases, and of course that's a huge problem in and of itself, but you emotionally bond with your one and only, and this is why when people say to me sometimes, you Christians have just as bad a divorce rate as the world does, my response is, well, not obedient Christians, because we know, according to Pam Stenzel, sex researcher, a Christian sex educator and so forth, she says that only 2% of virgins who marry each other end up getting divorced. So if anybody ever says to me that the divorce rate among Christians is just as bad as the world, my response is not among obedient Christians, because look at that, just that example. If you save yourself for virginity, hey, by the grace of God, I've been married recently now for 35 years. By saving ourselves, we have opened to ourselves and to our, you know, my wife and me in a closed system, just years and years and years of bliss. And not having all these broken relationships and all this terrible stuff, oh, much less diseases and broken hearts and so forth. By playing by God's rules, we are blessed, blessed, blessed. And I wish people could just understand this kind of thing. When somebody says, oh, everybody's doing it. No, they're not. By the grace of not, they're not all doing it. And there's blessings that flow from obedience to God.
Yes, I've been trying to warn America for many years. I warned the governors of the state of California about the spread of pornography, because fornication, the word pornos and graphe are the two words that make the word pornography. And when you violate God's standard of marriage, and you violate, because it's His ordinance, whenever anybody asks you anything about marriage, it is God's ordinance. He started in the Garden of Eden, and it's supposed to be conducted a certain way. Mm-hmm. And when you violate the principles, it's like if you stick your something into electrical circuit, you're going to be sorry for it.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's and many people don't understand the importance of keeping yourself pure, honoring God with your marriage ordinance when you eventually get married, if you're going to get married. And yes, truly, there's a work of evil to turn people against the true way that God said for man to live. And there's a battle raging. But if you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7:13, not chapter 14 or verse 14, you find that God says, "I will bring a drought on the land if you do specific things." There's things that you do. If you do it, there's going to be a consequence. And you've got in the West right now a severe drought, and that's where majority of pornography is created in the world. Even not at least what we've heard the research I've done. It's got, in the world, there's more pornography produced and spread out of California than any other state, and yet it's going on everywhere. It's not just in California, so it's not just. I mean, but we as a nation, one nation under God, we have to give an account for using His name in that way, and we have to give Him an answer. Mm. And most people don't like to go there, but that's the reality of the truth.
You reap what you sow. And so,
yes.
It's funny. Even when I was interviewing Pam Stenzel, I did a little research on her in advance, and I looked up on the internet, and I found this terrible website that was slamming her. And basically, this lady said, "I want to blank whoever I want to blank, regardless of any kind of consequences, and not have consequences." But this is God's universe, and Jesus is the King of Kings, and we will give an account before Him. Every breath we take is by His grace, and if you do certain things, break His laws, you will suffer the consequences. People could say, well, I don't like the law of gravity. You know, they could say it all they want to and say it's old-fashioned or something, but the minute they jump off a building, they could get seriously hurt, if not killed. This is God's world. Again, you reap what you sow, a biblical message, one that needs to be heeded in our day, wouldn't you say?
Yes, yes, Jerry. Please pray for us out here in the state of Washington. It's a very difficult area to live. I don't know if you know this, but the first Father's Day was started by a lady named Sonora Smart Dodd, and her father had six children. He was a single father.
We have a minute left.
Yes, and also, I pray that all your audience will be able to get the book, because it has full of information. It's got 437 pages of research material in five parts. We deal with the patriarch of the Bible, the patriarchs of Noah and Abraham and their sons, and how that our world is overspread by those people and the influences of them, even to this day.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned about America because we see already the evidences of God's judgment.
Yes.
We need to turn back and repent. The repentance and obedience is something that aren't famous words, but they're most important for getting ourselves back under God's authority.
Okay, we have time, Michael Jeswick, for you to give the name of the book one last time, and that's it.
Okay, the book is called Fatherhood in the United States of America, all those words. And
okay, thank you. We're out of time. All the best.